From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. As you can see, we've got a lot of stuff here on the desk here. It's kind of, we got Thanksgiving here in the US, big shopping holiday coming up.
Cyber Monday today.
Cyber Monday, Black Friday coming up this weekend. So we got a lot of stuff here that we're talking about, maybe accessories people might need for their PCs, stocking stuffers.
Yeah, it's the season where you have to fix PCs, you give gifts, all that type of stuff. So apart from my voice being bad, sorry
about
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We just grabbed a whole lot of stuff that we thought most people should have.
Yeah.
Right? And some of this is just the, you know, you go into your in-law's house and fixing dad's PC or,
yeah, that's right, man.
You know, giving out something to that friend of yours or to a relative.
What should people have in their electronic toolbox?
Yeah, for us or for other people. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a whole gamut here. We're not really going to have an order to it. We're just kind of going to go down it. And
let's just rap about stuff.
What should we unwrap first? So let's start with the obvious, right?
A USB key.
USB
keys. USB key, USB stick, whatever you want to call it.
I'm trying to make it so you can see it.
Yeah, there you go.
You need these.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they get lost.
They're the new floppy disks. Like, that's I'm old. I used to use floppy disks. They're gone now. These are the thing.
Yeah. So you want to have one that's at least 4 gig, preferably 8 gig, because then you can fit a Windows image on it, an ISO, so you can burn Windows to it and then boot from it. So you tend to want the 8 gig range. Obviously, you want higher USB levels for higher speed.
Yeah, USB 3 is always nice, high speed.
High speed.
I mean, they're cheap enough now. Like, get your 32, 64 gig, why not? Right?
So are you tempted to buy two smaller ones or three smaller ones?
Man, they get lost. So I'd prefer to have fewer ones because then I don't lose them as easily and I know where they are.
Yeah, I'd be tempted to buy like two or three 8s or 16s rather than the bigger ones, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Similar to this, micro SD cards for your phone, for your GoPro, for all that stuff.
Yeah, you got these adapters too, like the micro SD adapter that goes into the regular SD.
I think your Lenovo even has the.
This one's got a regular SD.
So you put that in, and then you got your micro SD.
Little adapters.
I know I use this exclusively. Well, the main reason I use this is for my GoPro. Right, the GoPro has a micro SD on it.
Yep.
And it's just super fast to shove one of these in and to download the gigabytes and gigabytes of GoPro footage. So
sometimes people's phones have these. I've had phones that have the micro SD cards too, so it's handy to if you need to pull a lot of data off, it might be faster.
Yeah. Similar to that, USB cables.
Sure, yeah.
I'm a really big fan of these. I know we call them material ones. Or
the fabric covered ones. Yeah, yeah.
I find they don't kink as much. I don't lose them. Maybe because they're white versus black.
And well, they come in black.
Yeah, but you tend
you
to
like
buy
the
them
white.
White
ones, okay.
You know, with USB-C coming out, you know, people have tons and tons of the micro ones, all the old ones, USB 2
type mini,
ones.
Micro, yeah.
But you tend to be a bit short with the series.
I had to just buy a USB-C adapter. I've got a laptop, a Dell, that's got just USB-C on it. And it's, I had to get an HDMI adapter from that for that too. And actually what I would recommend on that is you get these little docks that have all in one. You've got a VGA, you've got an HDMI out, you've got a regular USB-A out. So those are
really utility, really friendly.
Like one thing you can carry, you can take it into any conference room, plug it into any, display.
When it comes to USB cables, make sure you get the data one. There's two different variants. I don't think C has the problem, but it happens with the older ones. You can get data ones and power ones. And risky, the power ones are just missing the data cables. So sometimes you'll pick one up, plug something in and go, why isn't it working?
Oh, wow, I haven't had that.
And it's just because it's just a power
one. It's just a power one.
And they do tend to have a little tag on them.
Oh, okay.
Just from the manufacturer to warn you that. But if you've bought something like, for example, this DVD drive.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bad example, but this is going to be data. But, you might be buying something that is something just been charging. You're charging a radio or some type of portable device.
Yeah.
They tend to only give you the data one because they're cheaper. So just plug it in, and if you don't hear the dunk-dunk, odds are it's...
The dunk-dunk. That's the technical term for
the
that.
Dunk-dunk.
The dunk-dunk noise.
so one of the things I did bring was a DVD drive. I mean, this could equally be a Blu-ray.
You've got a big physical media collection.
I do.
DVDs and Blu-rays. Not a lot of people maybe use those as much now, but still, I still have a lot of them too. It's handy, and yeah. I'm lazy about like ripping stuff, and it's hard, and it's like all those movies I have.
Yeah. I probably use this 10-20% of the time for the movie reason.
Yeah,
because I have ripped a lot now to Plex. Plex is awesome. If you want to give someone a gift, just give them the lifetime Plex account. $100 bucks for life, whatever it is.
Oh, okay.
Just go do it.
Oh, well, free plug for Plex.
Plex
there.
Is awesome.
All right.
Gopher will equally say that. Hmm. The thing I use it for is reinstalling PCs that don't have a drive.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I do tend to have Windows burnt to a disk because you never remember where the USB is.
Yeah.
But if I burn it to a disk,
right.
I write on it with a Sharpie, shove it in the collection, here's the blah version of Windows.
I used to keep a stack of burned DVDs with each version of Windows, but it's the blank discs are cheap enough, it's easy, or even a DVD RW I would wipe and just put a new one. Nowadays, I don't know, I use a USB more, only because we come out with builds so much more now.
Yeah.
It's like I can't just burn an OS and have it be good for 2 years. It's like, every 6 months we need it.
But the major reason I use it now, I'd say this is over 50%, is old PC games.
Oh, yeah.
So you bring in Sims 3 or Sims 2 or something older, Age of Empires or...
Do you find most of those games still run on new
they
Windows?
They do. Yeah, they do. And so, but they want the checking of the DRM.
Yeah.
So I know that this drive particularly is nearly always in my daughter's laptop so they can play some of these older games. They're very retro gamers.
Retro gaming.
It's only there to get past the DRM. But,
right.
Because their laptops don't have drives.
Yeah, it's good to have those around. Now, what else we got here? We got some RAM, we've got some cables, so some dongles, big package of dongles.
Let's continue the cable fun. A whole lot of dongles, and there's some USB-C to HDMI, like you were saying before.
Yeah, USB-C, man. Everybody's short on USB-C adapters.
Mini, micro HDMI.
Yeah.
To HDMI and.
There's so many graphics adapter connector things. it's a pain, right?
This actually is the standard ring that you see in Microsoft conference rooms.
Oh yeah.
Where it's got all the HDMI variants with against everything else, and you just plug this in, plug this into your PC, and away you go.
Yeah.
These are really useful. You only need to buy the one that you use, right? So like for you, it may be DisplayPort.
This one's got the HDMI.
This one's DisplayPort as well.
But the thing is, I have multiple laptops. So, this one's only got USB-C.
Yeah, so buy the one you need.
Yeah.
Buy a nice little, 6-foot HDMI cable.
Yeah.
And then when you're in a hotel room or something, you can just jack it in and watch your Netflix and all that stuff. That way, or watch your DVD.
I did buy this HDMI cable recently, and it's at the fabric covered kind, but it's a pain because it's really heavy duty and thick, and it's really hard to bend the cable to get it, like twist it to get it the right. So watch for that. Those super heavy duty ones sometimes are a little too heavy duty. Yeah, but.
Continuing cables, let's go this end.
Now what is this thing?
I'll let them know. It does because it gets used. Yeah. This is a charging station. Actually, I should run over quickly here.
Oh, Andrew's over there. He's back.
And you rest your phone in it.
Oh, look at that.
And this one holds 8-ish.
Yeah.
And you put your. I use
so
it
you
for.
You stick it for your phones in there.
My old tablets, like the little HP Stream 7 tablets.
That's kind of handy. I haven't seen that before.
When you buy them, they don't tend to come with the cables.
So
just be careful when you're buying it.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't cost much.
You need like 5, 10, 8 cables.
In this one, I went and bought an 8-pack or 6-pack or whatever it was of cables for it.
Yeah, a little short.
This was sub $40, sub $30.
Kind of cool.
And like a pack of 7 cables of these tiny little, 5-6 inches.
Be nice if it also had wireless charging. Somebody should make that.
Yeah.
Oh.
But this is how we kind of keep the chaos.
Right.
Yeah, there's all these spare phones.
Everybody has so many devices these days.
Yeah, your Kindles, your small tablets, stuff like that.
Yeah.
When you're buying it, just have a check for the power. So that they tend to only have 2 or 3 ports of the high power ones. And then three or four of the low ones.
Yeah, a lot of times people, I'll bring a little charger for my phone or something, and then I'll look at it when I get where I'm like in my hotel, and I'm like, oh man, I got like the old 1-amp charger, and it takes forever to charge my phone. So like watch the amperage on those chargers, because especially a lot of these newer devices, these phones will charge pretty fast off like a 2-amp or, you know,
yeah,
high power charger.
It is, yeah. But so, I mean, I've had this for years. You can see by the dust, but it just dust forming on it because of use. But
yeah,
really great. It really does clean up your life. And it gives, you know, it's two things. A, you don't have these stupid long cables and this fight of this multi PowerPoint board with all these bricks on it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, I'm guessing it's more efficient to have one transformer than five or six.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I also know where the damn phone is.
Yeah, oh right, keeps you from losing it.
So our kids, when they come home and they put it on here.
Nice, yeah, right? Yeah.
And so we know collectively where it is and where the smaller tablets and stuff are and the Kindles and stuff like that. So
cool.
This has been one of the best things I bought in the last
useful to have.
Couple of years.
Should dust that thing.
Yeah.
So. Now, we've got a hard drive here, but this looks like an HDD.
It is.
Would you buy an HDD now? This looks like maybe a 5400 RPM. This is going to be painful.
Doesn't scream along.
Doesn't scream. There's a reason it's not in a laptop.
So, these three things here kind of relate to each other.
Yeah.
I've got some RAM.
Yeah.
Disk, and how the hell am I going to do the disk thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I've done this on a lot of laptops is... a lot of the cheaper laptops, you can unscrew the back and you've got access to the motherboard, and things like the memory and the disk are just slotted in. They're not soldered onto the hard drive, onto the motherboard. Like things like these brand new Surface laptops.
Higher end ones tend to have higher end soldered RAM, yeah.
It's all on it. Like you buy it, that's it.
But right.
On the lower end systems, these are just components. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pay much money, well, you're not buying much stuff. So what you're buying is a very relatively slow rotational disk, and this is painfully slow.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking 20 millisecond plus access times, which means every time you do something, it's a wait.
Every time you reboot, you might as well go have a cup of coffee.
Right? Yeah. And so you're looking at probably a 5-minute reboot on one of these boys.
Yeah.
And so just swapping in this, and they don't tend to be that big either. You might get tricked into thinking you've got a 1 terabyte one.
Mm.
That's not good. Now, sometimes the 1 terabytes are a hybrid where it's rotational and a little bit SSD.
Yeah, they got a big cache.
Yeah, it just gives us a massive cache, right?
Yeah.
But you swap these out, and we won't go into how you do that, but you know, you just clone the old machine to the new drive.
Yeah.
And then swap. Take this one out, put the SSD in.
SSD, man, and it's away one you go. Of the biggest upgrades you can make, especially now, on a lower end. Well, really on any system, I would say.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's true for laptops and for desktops, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've had your PC for a while, the odds are SSD prices for that rotational capacity, I think these are 512s, you can buy a 512 SSD for quite cheap or cheap enough. And for the investment of a couple of $100, you can significantly improve the performance of your box.
Yeah.
If you are buying a drive that's smaller, you are going to fight with the transfer, and we'll go through that one day.
Oh, yeah.
There's always a debate. Faster drive or more RAM?
Depends how much RAM you have.
It all comes where you start from, right?
Yeah.
If you're down at the 2 gig range.
Oh, man.
Get up to 4,
forget it.
Get up to 8.
Four minimal. If you've got a 2 gig system, what I would say is you're better off running 32-bit Windows, by the way, rather than 64, because 32 has a smaller memory footprint.
Yep.
Technically, the minimum for Windows 10 is 2 gigabytes, but really, you should have 4. Especially if you're on 64-bit OS, 4 is really where you want to be, at least. Yep. 8, 16.
Now, 2's okay, because things like the GPU and stuff, they map its memory into that space between 2 and 4 gig on 32-bit, which is a space you don't have access to.
Yeah.
If you are using 32-bit with 4 gig of RAM, now you're actually taking a penalty because the GPU is stealing space from the RAM sticks.
Yeah, my rule of thumb is a 2 gig RAM system, 32-bit OS, 4 and anything above 4
three,
and up.
3 and up, really.
3 and up, really. Yeah, 64-bit.
Yeah, all the way. From a RAM point of view, just replace it with the same speed, the same type. So if it's DDR3 1066, just buy more DDR3 1066.
Yeah.
The only thing I would do is go to ark.intel.com and double check that the Intel CPU supports that much RAM. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Just look up the model. Windows pause, brings up system information properties.
Let's see what your
CPU is listed there, the model. Mm. Type that into ark.intel.com.
Yeah.
And it will tell you exactly what it can achieve and the memory speed and everything else. Rule of thumb is when you're upgrading, odds are it was probably the fastest it could be in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
Just replace it with bigger.
Get the same kind of RAM you have now.
On a desktop, yeah. If you've got slots, just put two more in. Just make sure that they're the same speed.
Yep.
They can be bigger. So like say you've got two twos and you want to put in two eights, that's fine. Just make sure that they're the same speed.
Yeah.
With hard drives, you know, SSD, I'm not a big SSD techno knowledge person, so I assume most SSDs are semi-equivalent, but
yeah, there's different some research. Speed ratings and things, yeah. But yeah, people can research that.
And then as far as the disk, you know, sometimes you just want to know what is on this damn thing. These little drive things are great. Now, I'm a big fan of the ones that have power. Trying to draw power on the back.
So this is like it's got a little SATA slot cord in there. You can just drop a hard drive in here. Looks like it's big enough for even like a big older
3.5.
3.5 inch.
Yeah. So you just drop it in, clicks into place onto the SATA connector.
Yeah.
Gets power from the back. You can get these, as I said, just as pure cables, but I find that the cables don't have enough power to run particularly the 3.5 rotationals. Mm. So just get one with power.
Get one with power.
Yeah. I love these ones. They kind of pop out when you press the button. There's like a little thing at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Pretty cheap. Really easy way of just going through your drives. With hard drives more than USB, make sure you do the removal tool at the bottom of Windows.
Right click, safe remove hardware thing. Yeah, eject disk in Explorer.
Yeah, it will come up as a removable drive and it shouldn't be using dynamic caching, but just be sure.
Please play it safe.
Play it safe.
I've been burned by that.
So this is kind of like good for upgrading and troubleshooting and finding out what the deal is. Mm. Another good one is these things, and I don't know.
Oh, what do we got here? Screwdrivers?
Well, kind of.
Oh, cables.
So you'll get this from the home store.
Oh.
And what these are is a connection tester.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can plug your network cable in both ends, for example. And so let's say you've got a home network where it's in the walls.
Sure.
You use these short ones.
Mm-hmm.
And put that in one wall, put this in another wall.
Yeah.
And then it's smart enough to know what the cabling should be, and it has lights for every little pair.
Oh, so you can see whether any of the cables are bad.
Broken. Yeah. So you can use that from a wall situation, which is great. So you just plug this in down in the basement, wherever it is, where the router is or something. Mm-hmm. And then you take this up to the other room.
Oh,
you
go, right.
Okay, it's good. The wall's good.
Right.
And then the next thing you can test is, you know, is my cable good? That's the other thing you should have. You should have a decent 6-foot cable in your backpack with the
tabs that always
still
break
work.
Off when you put them in your backpack.
Yeah, but we'll maybe get the ones that have the shield thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you should always have one of these just so that if you are at someone's house and you need to download something quickly and their Wi-Fi is rubbish, you can do that. And you can see here, because I plugged it in live, it's now cycling through.
So it's testing each pair.
And so it says, yeah, we're good. Each one's good.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes with coax cables. And I haven't, you know, I can do a tiny little coax cable here.
Coax, wow.
So this is if you're checking if your
like for your TV.
For your TV is any good.
Yeah.
Same deal. And you'll just see that just the coax light will blink.
Oh, good. It's good.
So, yeah, really quick way of finding out, troubleshooting little niggly problems.
That's a handy thing to have.
I've used that quite a bit.
Yeah.
If you have a bigger house like I do, and it's very sprawled, it's so annoying trying to do it locally, right? So it's a really quick way of testing it.
Now, do you have Wi-Fi repeaters in your house, too?
I used to have 5.
Yeah.
And they were all G.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, G. Yeah, they were G.
211G.
So they had 5 points, mm-hmm. and then they were joined by a Moka backbone. So Moka is multimedia over cable appliance.
Okay.
Or cable alliance. It's actually how TiVo works.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, not TiVo, how DirecTV works.
Okay.
And so it generates a 400 megabit backbone on your TV cable.
Oh.
And so I would check my Moka. Backbone with the cable side.
So that's why you got the coax tester.
And then obviously from a network cable point of view. And then that gave me a router with a Wi-Fi out of it, and then 4 or 5 ports at every device. But I actually just recently upgraded to a Netgear X something. I can't remember what it's called. Nighthawk, I think it is.
Okay.
3-band 5G.
Yeah.
And that thing, it's selling at Costco right now.
Yeah.
That thing is just impressive.
Yeah, higher speeds.
It's gone to N. I get halfway to my kids' elementary school and I'm still connected.
Really?
That's a long way.
On 802.11n?
Yeah, it's a good quarter of a mile and I'm still connected.
Wow, that's impressive.
The speed on it is astounding. So I have actually ripped out my entire network and I'll turn off my Wi-Fi everywhere. And I have my Mocha backbone just doing routers for the Xboxes and stuff like that. So you have beautiful wired streaming experience.
Yeah.
But all my Wi-Fi is now this Netgear Nighthawk. I also bought a new RS modem for my for the cable modem. Because the modem I was renting from Comcast was a bit old. And so this one was a newer version. And it also has boosted my internet speed up to, you know, 100 megabit per second or better.
Ah, nice upgrade.
So those two upgrades were $200-ish to get those two things. And my networking just has gone from to wow.
Nice.
So that's pretty good.
I finally got fiber in my neighborhood. I'm very excited. Yeah, it's been about a year now, so I get really nice internet speeds from that.
Two more things on table.
Yeah, batteries. We got a box of batteries here.
It's one of the things you just don't think
about. Double A's, triple A's. Yeah,
just
I mean, you
buy
know,
a box.
Have them around, yeah.
You don't want too many, though, because they do kind of go off after a while. So just buy enough to keep you going for the next year or two.
These are your old school alkalines. For some devices, I like to use rechargeables.
Yeah, all my Xbox controllers, I use rechargeables.
Nickel metal hydrides.
Yeah.
I mean, certain things that you just don't want to have to keep buying. You go through them so fast, right?
And then,
but other ones, I do like this just because it's like put it in, forget it. You don't, you replace them once a year, whatever, right?
The big reason I brought that out is you need them for your fire alarms.
Yes.
Once a year.
Yeah.
Just use the sale opportunity now.
Fire alarm, smoke alarm,
it's Christmas season, there's more candles, there's more dangerous things going on.
Good call.
Just go around your house and do the fire alarm.
Yeah, mine uses a 9-volt. Actually, my newer fire smoke alarm doesn't even have a replaceable battery.
It's
wired. It's got some lithium thing, supposed to have like a 10-year life, and they say that a smoke alarm has like a 7-year lifespan or something anyway, so they're like, well, once the battery dies, you need a new smoke alarm anyway.
That's a good point. You should go around and double check that you're...
Yeah, check the date on your smoke alarms. If they're more than like whatever the recommendation is, 7 to 10 years or whatever, like get a new one.
Yeah. There's nothing more important than safety.
Yeah.
I actually am a big fan. I haven't got them yet. It's on my wish list of the new Nest fire alarms, which are all connected, so they tell each other to all go off if there's something. And then it also broadcasts what room it's in.
Oh, that's kind of handy.
And so you can kind of go, you know, fire in living room, fire in bedroom.
High tech.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah. And there's also obviously Wi-Fi apps that go with it.
Yeah.
So I'm maybe upgrading to the Nest system next time my warranty runs out.
Sure. What's this little box here? What is
that? Yeah, so
what this is.
If you're traveling, you know, let's talk about, this is a universal adapter. Now grab this from the Channel 9 guys out there.
Yeah.
You've got to talk about this thing. So this has got every country on it.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
And so universal in and, so it's just...
And what's the output on this? It's just an adapter. I see.
But if you're traveling, and it's got some USBs on the side.
That's kind of handy. Oh, it does have USBs on it. Nice. Yeah.
And they're 6 amps too.
Oh, wow.
One amp for the USB.
Okay, so it could be better. But
I mean, you don't necessarily have to buy this model, but just the idea.
If
you are traveling, remember to bring your a multi-adapter.
Be aware what you're plugging into it, because a laptop's going to have like a switching power supply. It'll accept 110 to 240 volts. A toaster might not. or whatever.
And be aware of the amperage, of course.
Yeah, so just make sure whatever you're plugging in is capable of the voltage of wherever
where
you are.
Where you're going.
Yes, don't fry things, please.
Yeah, people going from the US to Australia.
You got 240.
That will burn you happily.
I've
made that mistake once.
Luckily, most modern electronics have the switching adapters that'll do both, but make sure you watch that,
If you're going to be on a plane, you might as well have something to read.
SysInternals. This is the troubleshooting. SysInternals 2.
This is the 6th or the 2nd edition.
Yes.
Out of all the books available in this space of what we're talking about with defrag tools, this is the book you want. I'm not aware of really any other book that encompasses what we talk about day to day as well as this book. Windows Internals, without a doubt, is a great book. That's the one that's a kind of more operating system focused. Much more about deep dive into the OS and stuff. And if you're focusing on the debugging side of troubleshooting, that's a book you need to have. Actually, I personally was sitting in front of a fire the other day because the power was out. Reading that book, looking up something very specific.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was great. It was, the detail was there. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great
talking
reference.
About reading books in front of fires.
Yeah.
It's becoming winter season. We've sure. already had the first outage for the year here in Seattle because of a snowstorm we
big
had.
Big windstorm, yeah.
My house lost power for about a day. UPSs.
Oh, sure, yeah.
There's been plenty of windstorms that have to cause, you know, 1 second, 5 second, 10 second outages.
Yeah.
Two sides to it. A, brownouts and spikes are not great for your PC or any device.
Not really, no.
So you want a surge protection based power board on everything that's got electronics in it, right? Then they're cheap enough that there's just no real reason to skimp and save on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a device that's on 24/7, like I have a media center turned on 24/7,
mm-hmm.
You want a UPS on it just to get you over those spikes.
Yeah.
This is not about keeping your PC alive and your Comcast modem alive so you can tape TV
right,
for the next 12 hours. This is just get it smoothly over
for
this.
For those 5 second power outages or power bumps. Yeah.
And the important thing is if you do have a UPS, plug the cable in from the UPS that's usually USB into your PC and it tells your PC to shut down because it tells it the battery level.
Right, yeah.
And so don't forget to do that little step.
It'll show up as a battery in Windows 10, right? As a battery device.
Yeah, and it's risky. It's a laptop from that point forward.
Yeah.
Make sure you set your power policy right. It will tend to want to turn to a battery saver mode when you add a battery concept to Windows.
But yeah.
Just make sure you type power and just tweak it. A whole lot of Christmas and New Year, Thanksgiving period stuff.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of software type things. Like, you can never go wrong giving a teenager an Xbox Live account.
Sure.
Or the annual subscription. Someone has to pay the money for it.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be mom or the kid? Why can't it be Uncle Joe?
Sure, yeah.
There's also Xbox Game Pass, mm-hmm. which gives you, it's a subscription service as well, gives you access to hundreds of games in the Xbox catalog.
Yeah,
as long
nice.
As you pay for it, you can just do that.
And even with the Xbox Gold account, you also get some free games with that, too,
yes.
which is very cool.
Like
once a month.
I would say that half the games I play are from the Xbox Live, Deals for Gold, Games for Gold,
free games,
free
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Every 1st and 16th of the month, they come out with two to three games, usually two for Xbox One and one for Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
I have a scheduled calendar.
Calendar.
Pops up at 9 a.m. on those days and it says, here's the URL.
What's the new game?
Go and then I just go buy. And then, yeah, sometimes you know you're not going to buy it, but I just buy everything.
Yeah.
As long as you have an Xbox Live account, it's good forever. It's not just that 2 week period. You are buying it forever.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of games I buy or get through that I play. So
yeah,
definitely valuable.
Save you some money.
Xbox games is slightly different. It is a subscription service. While you're paying for it, you have access.
And that's like any game that's on there.
It's about 100, I think.
A lot of high quality games.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Things that tend to be about 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah.
And then there's also EA Access, which is the same idea, but it's a available on Xbox for all the EA titles, but also is cross-platform, so the other consoles and PCs and stuff.
Yeah. But, well, I'm hoping somebody gives me a Surface Book 2 for Christmas. That thing looks pretty great, right?
That is
just came out.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. I mean,
yeah.
If you want a PC that can do anything,
yeah, man,
that's the
it's
king
pretty,
right now.
Cool.
It's beautiful. I mean, huge kudos to Panos for making a beautiful, aesthetically pleasing machine.
It's really nice.
And then under the surface it is just a beast. Now with the dedicated GPU option and lots of hard drive space and lots of RAM, this thing can do Photoshop, it can do gaming, it can do anything you can think of it. Obviously there's a price point at that point.
Yeah.
Detachable screen, and all these things cost money.
Well, I'd really like a Surface Studio, but that's a little out of my budget.
Yeah, studio.
Oh, gorgeous. They're gorgeous. If you haven't seen one, go to a Microsoft store if you've got one around your region, because they are quite a sight to behold.
Yeah, definitely. I think the next level down is really the laptop.
Yeah.
I love this. I used to have the Lenovo X1. I have not used it since the day I got this.
You're loving that.
And I'm Surface. Actually running this with S.
This is the laptop, Surface laptop.
This
right?
is Windows 10 S.
Oh, yeah, Windows 10 S. You find that's working out for you?
For me, it is, because Unfortunately, I'm very managerial and all I do is paperwork. And so when I'm using a laptop rather than coding, all I'm doing is TPS reports and stuff like that. Right?
Now, 10S, you can run the new Windows debugger on.
I don't know if you saw that, but I opened that lid and facial recognition looked me in about a second, if that. Yeah. Well, what I did was look at it. My twin brother was around recently and we tested it.
Yeah.
He looks a lot like me, as you have maybe know.
Yeah.
Did not get, with and without glasses, did not get fooled.
Didn't fool it.
Didn't get fooled.
Nice.
And so very impressive. And then I'm not a big tablet person, so that's why the laptop's very good for me.
Yeah, I like to type.
But I'm saying if you want just to have a tablet experience, then the next one is obviously the Surface Pro.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think the Surface Pro is the best tablet experience at that price point.
It's
absolutely gorgeous.
Device,
but the whole range is great.
Nice.
Not to say that the OEMs aren't great too.
Oh man, we got a lot of great stuff out there from Dell, Lenovo, HP, Acer. A lot of great Windows devices.
Yeah.
I mean, we like to hype the Microsoft because we're Microsoft. But man, I got a little Dell XPS 13 on my desk here, and it's a great device. Super light, long battery life.
I have been
really
using
nice.
The Lenovo X1 for 8 years now. That machine is 7 or 8 years old, and I love it still.
Yeah.
But this thing's got a lot of RAM.
Yeah.
So it's kind of really nice. So, but yeah, lots of gift ideas. I hope you maybe found something in this as an idea to give someone. Little stocking stuffer like a USB cable or an adapter.
Yeah.
A little thing that's missing, or that HDMI connector that you just tend not to have.
Yeah, man.
And then up to great things that maybe someone will
the premium ones. I'm still waiting for that Surface Studio Santa Claus. So if you're listening,
that is gorgeous.
If you're watching. All right. Well, thanks for watching. That's our show. Have happy holidays if you're in the U.S. or somewhere that's celebrating holidays right now. In any case, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.